we got to get over this idea. I think that we're going to get that we're going to get somebody that's going to save us in Washington. And yet we have a lot of people, I think, don't really understand what is happening here. Todd Starnes, and he's done a lot of good work, but he urged Christians to leave churches if their pastor didn't preach on the Trump attack on Sunday. I saw that headline. I thought, what in the world is that about? If your pastor did not address the assassination attempt in today's service, you need to find another church. There is tremendous spiritual warfare, he said, being waged in this country. There is no time for limp-wristed woke evangelicals, he wrote. And he's not the only one saying this assassination was spiritual warfare.
I think what happened on Saturday, the assassination attempt against President Trump, reminded a lot of people this, or awakened a lot of people to this. There is a spiritual battle underway. There is no logical way to understand what we're seeing now in temporal terms. You just can't. These are not political divides.
Yeah. Not political divides. That's there you go. You want to know what spiritual warfare is? Take a look at the picture of Trump on the couch, Jeffrey Epstein. Right. These guys don't know where the battlefield is. They don't know who's on God's side and who is opposing him in this spiritual warfare. And so going back to the quote from Todd Starnes, James White, this is an article from a Christian Post, got the responses of several people to Todd Starnes saying, well, if your pastor didn't talk about Trump's assassination attempt on Sunday, you need to get out of that church. James White, a well-known pastor and elder at Apologia Church in Tempe, Arizona, also serves as director of Alpha and Omega Ministries in Phoenix, said Starnes' comment about what pastors should be preaching about on Sunday was out of order, urged him to get, quote, back in your lane. He says, you've got to be kidding me. No, sir, I did not address the assassination attempt in today's service. I taught on Jesus's view of Scripture, actually. There would have been nothing wrong in mentioning it. There would have been nothing wrong even praying about it. In fact, if we had wanted to address, again, the proper role of the church in calling magistrates to obedience to Christ, something we were doing long before it became popular after 2020, that would have been fine as well. But how dare you get on your high horse and pretend to dictate to the elders of Christ's churches what they must address on a given Lord's Day from the pulpit, lest they be labeled limp-wristed woke evangelicals. You need to apologize for this absurd tweet, delete it, and get back in your lane. Reverend Johanan Tate, senior pastor at the New Era Baptist Church in Middletown, Ohio, where J.D. Vance is from, said he didn't preach about the attempted assassination of the former president, said it had nothing to do with spiritual warfare. I didn't preach about it, and I guarantee not one member of our church will leave. This is not spiritual warfare. He said, try again. Yeah, see, the problem is that political commentators like Todd Starnes and Tucker Carlson don't understand what spiritual warfare is. You know, take a look at things like the lust of the flesh. Perhaps the people that have been put up to speak to those at the RNC. The lust of the eye. The pride of life, all of these different things. As I said before, I think the lust of the flesh we're talking about, and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, I think we're talking about sex, money, and power. You can see all of that on display, not on Saturday, but you see it at the RNC. And you see Trump putting up people like Amber Rose. I got a comment here on Rumble, DGA. David, Amber Rose spoke at the RNC on Monday. Basically, she bragged about how the Republican Party endorses abortion and the LGBT agenda. Trump has brought this party far left, LifeSite News reports. Yeah, I've got that in here to talk about, as a matter of fact. And I talked about the fact that he was going to have her speak a couple of weeks ago. They were talking about it. But getting back to this, as Pastor Clifford Mays, who didn't share his affiliation, also disagreed with Starnes' position. He said, I'm a pastor. I did not address the assassination attempt, but I did declare Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and his return. Jesus is my king. He is the only one who saves. Taylor Combs, a pastor at King's Cross Church in Nashville, Tennessee, was a bit more nuanced. says this article on Christian Post. He said, there's reasons to leave your church, but this isn't one of them. At every membership interview, I tell future members that there will come a time when they think that I say too much, too little, or the wrong thing about some cultural issue. But that's no reason to leave, he said. It's possible to hold together truth from both sides on this. For example, I do think it would have been wise for pastors to address this yesterday. People came to church with it on their minds. Some were fearful, sad, angry. Shepherds are called to speak the gospel to this. But he also doesn't think it's wise for pastors to just preach the gospel, he said. Just preaching the gospel doesn't carry the weight here that some think. Did John the Baptist just preach the gospel to Herod? Paul, when he confronted Peter? James, when he addressed partiality? We speak the gospel to real life realities, not in order to escape those realities. And so a lot of people talked about Trump's close call with death. Depending on what you think about this event, this headline, an inch away from eternity. I think it would have been better for him to put from ear to eternity. That would have been a catchier headline. Maybe we'll use that. I don't know. By the way, I'm one of these doubting Thomases who say, show me the wound. But nevertheless, the point is, he said, you and I are always just an inch away from eternity. He said, he's preached a lot of funerals over 40 years. He said, I can tell you that many times a person's death is sudden and unexpected. He said, I've officiated a funeral for a 16-year-old girl whose skull was crushed by a tree that was cut down by some teenager goofing around in the mountains. If that tree had fallen an inch or two in a different direction, she might still be alive today. I've buried car accident victims who may have lived if the driver had turned the steering wheel a mere inch in a different direction. When death comes unexpectedly, our mortality awareness index heightens. And it's at times like this that the biggest question of life should bubble to the top of our minds. What happens after you die? You know, the first thing that we do when we have a picture of a group and we're in the group is to look at ourselves in the picture, isn't it? Yeah, admit it. You do it. Everybody does it. First one you look at is yourself in the picture. And when somebody dies, somebody that you know or somebody that you don't really know, but you know a lot about because they're a celebrity, a public figure, something like that. The first thing you do is you look to find yourself in that picture, isn't it? Am I in that picture? What'd they die from? Oh, well, good. I don't smoke or I didn't take the shot or whatever. So that's a relief. No, you're in the picture. There's a lot of things that can take us out. As a matter of fact, I had a friend that was diagnosed with a very slow type of cancer. And I remember it was back in the mid or late 90s. He lived for what's another 20 years. Got all of his friends together. We prayed about it and everything. And he lived for another 20 years, but he was on his way to chemotherapy one day. And he said a big sheet of something came off, flipped off of a car that was in front of him on the interstate and just barely went over the roof of his car. And he said, a couple of inches lower and it would have killed me. He said, and I thought about this. He said, I'm on my way to getting chemotherapy. And I nearly had my head taken off on the interstate. And he said, at that point, it was actually a very comforting thing. Not that he had had a near hit and it had missed. But what was comforting was the fact that he said, my life is in God's hands. He's going to determine when I die and what manner of death. Jesus made it very clear that one or two things is going to happen after death. He said, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has already crossed over from death to life. And we talked about this yesterday in my interview with a Secret Service agent. He said that was fundamental to his being a Christian, that certainty, that security, that promise. And I said, yeah, me too. Me too. Grew up in a different tradition. He said, this guy says, do you know that you're going to go to heaven after you die? What are you trusting in? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven, then you're obviously not trusting in Christ's words or his work, his finished work on your behalf. He says, I know, And it's not because I'm a good person. I'm a sinner. If you don't believe me, he said, ask my friends and family. But I know that I'm going to heaven. And so he puts out an acrostic, I would say an acronym, to spell out gospel. But basically, he's talking about the fact that sins cannot be removed by good deeds. And that's something that Trump doesn't understand. Trump, like all of us, could be in the hands of an angry God. It used to be something that we covered in school. When I was in school, we covered that sermon by Jonathan Edwards at about the time of the Great Awakening. It had a big political and social impact on the American colonies because, folks, politics is downstream from culture. Culture is downstream from God and your relationship to him. And so they used to understand that. They used to teach that in schools. Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God, goes back to Deuteronomy 32, where God says, their foot shall slide in due time. And he said, you know, the lesson we learn from this is that we're all exposed to destruction. We're all liable to fall at any time. And it will be at the appointed time that feet will slide and that God will not hold them up. He's holding you up. He's keeping you alive. He's protecting you from that bullet that just whizzed by your head or that piece of material that's flipped off of that truck or that tree that fell or that car. God is protecting you on a regular basis until the appointed time. And then what happens after you die again? Is it going to be based on the good things that you've done? Well, that's not what the Bible says. It's based on the good things that Christ has done. If you trust in him. And that's the key thing. It's do you want to have the wages of what you have done in this life? And that's what was so sad. I do have sympathy for Trump. When I saw multiple times, I played this, talked about it weeks ago. Multiple times people say, well, you talk a lot about the Bible. You talk about, you know, you hold the Bible up, you do this other thing. Have you ever asked for forgiveness? Well, no, not really. I don't think I really need forgiveness. Well, if you're going to stand on what you have done, the wages of sin are death, and you're not going to be able to undo that, you need to have God's forgiveness. The question is, how do you get it? Jack Hibbs, who's a pastor in California, Southern California. I don't know his church. I don't know this guy. So I'm not, don't write me letters about if you hate what he has to say. I'm just talking about what he said in this particular incident here. I'm not holding him forward as some standard. I don't know anything about what he says, just like I read those quotes from other people responding to Todd Starnes. But what he said is, Mr. President, you said today that God protected you. So he said, but who is God, Mr. President? Who is he? What is his name? You've heard it for years. He says, it's time to bow the knee. It's time to say that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's the one that rules over the affairs of man. He loves. He died on the cross. He rose again from the grave. It's Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He desires that all men should come to worship him in spirit and truth. This has been a warning, Mr. Trump, by an almighty God, so that your ear might be sanctified. So will you hear this? Open up his ear, right? He says, can you hear this? Listen to the word of God. Stop talking about God and come to know God. This makes all the difference, he said. And yet, what do we see after all this? Well, we got Greg Laurie who says, we often speak of somebody dodging a bullet. But for Trump, this really became reality. Our hearts go out to the family of Corey Comparatore, the one I talked about, who shielded his family from the assassin's bullet and died. He was a heroic husband, father, firefighter, regular churchgoer who had a love for Christ, needless to say, for his family. We fervently pray for the swift healing of the two critically wounded individuals and for God's hand of comfort over everyone who was affected by this senseless act of political violence. And yet, what is God's providence in sparing Trump's life or anybody else? Serves multiple purposes. The author of this dissenter as the author, says that while it is possible that God is using this to further harden Trump's heart, much like he did with Pharaoh during the plagues, it's also possible that this is an act of divine mercy. Perhaps God is giving Trump an opportunity to repent, to believe in the gospel. You know, and again, we're saying that this is an event that is what it appears to be on face value. Trump claims to be a Christian, but he's demonstrated no real understanding of who God is, who he is before God. While somewhat friendly to Christians, Trump has demonstrated an attitude of arrogance towards God. Trump doesn't believe that he needs to ask forgiveness from God because he hasn't done anything that requires it. Furthermore, there's a troubling subsect of professing Christians who have elevated Trump to near Messiah-like status. From charismatic false prophets who twist the scriptures to portray Trump as an end-time savior, to those who put their ultimate trust in him, this kind of idolatry is dangerous. As a matter of fact, we have a woman who is in this headline, charismatic seer, Jennifer LeClaire, takes credit for saving Trump from the assassination. I wouldn't call her a seer. I think it's better to call her a fortune teller. These are people who are descended from the Witch of Endor, quite frankly. This is the same lady who teaches that demons sometimes spy on people in the form of houseflies. And her case, she has had to bind, blind, and deafen these monitoring spirits to get rid of them. The housefly. I would suggest you just swat them. That's my approach. The Lord said, when I was in the cab heading toward Trump's 2016 inauguration, the Lord said this and put this there publicly. He said, danger, danger, stranger, danger. It's not coming from where you think. And in that moment, I didn't know what the timing of that word was, but I felt an urgency. And we alerted intercessors around the world. And so she says that even though she didn't know what it was about, she thwarted it through prayer because she recently had another guy who calls himself a prophet on her show, Chris Reed. He made vague prophecies about a potential assassination attempt on Trump's life in a 16-month window from April 2024 to July 2025. And he picked April because of the recent solar eclipse. It had great spiritual significance, he said, and that solar eclipse, he said, caused and unleashed a shaking in the world. These people are just occultists. You know, they're dressing themselves up in Christianity, but they're just people who dabble in the occult.
Of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish things that simply aren't true without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 Break free from the usual script with The David Knight Show, a fresh perspective bringing you genuine insights on current events. But if the show is going to stay on the air, we'll need your continued support. Sharing the show, subscribing, and even just hitting the like button all help. And if you found our show helpful, please consider donating and becoming a part of a community that values the truth. Because independent, listener-funded news, untouched by corporate globalist agendas, is extremely important to our liberties.